There we go.
Yep.
What up?
What's going on?
I can't complain. I'm glad you're with me, Fab. I'm glad you're with me. I chose you to be with me on this go around. One, I wanted to have Andy with us, but you know, Andy, he's tired.
Yeah.
He's tired. So one time for Fab. Listen, I want to highlight you because I want to say, even though we're 5 years apart, and you're a 90s baby, so I want to talk to you about being a 90s baby and what's that like. But I chose you because even though we're 5 years apart, I always have respect you.
Thank you.
No problem. I've always respected your steez, how you move. You've always been a go-getter. You've always been a man of thought, a man of patience. You've always been quiet. I don't know, is that accurate to say?
Yeah.
Always been.
I'll say so.
Well, remember, I know you from a family context. You know, you're my younger cousin. So I need you from that side. But people from other sides might say, oh, nah, Fab's a wild boy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What Fab said. So we're going to find out.
That's
for sure.
True.
But, you know, how I always known you as a man who's, you know, quiet but cunning, always on the move, and always trying to, you know, be ambitious and do your own thing. Move in your own terms.
Thanks.
So I want to know where that comes from. So we're gonna get into that. We're gonna get to like a whole bunch of stuff. And you told me
it's all anything open. Goes. Anything goes.
It's all open. Anything goes. It's all open. But I'm still gonna have some decorum with it. You know what I'm saying? But some things are sacred. But before we start, I want to say that me and you before off mic, we're talking about beers. How I'm jealous of your beard because Your beard connects more, and you brought up patches.
Still in patchy a little bit over here, but
I got some patches too.
Yeah, I need to get some serum and just put it in.
I be hearing get castor oil or
there's a whole bunch of stuff, but I just don't want to be going to sleep with like my face thinking because they be putting it like before they go to bed and stuff. So it's like it's a whole like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Put it on your beard and take it off. I've never done it, but. I just ain't, not that I ain't got the patience, but I got to be more of my self-nurturing to be doing
self-nurturing. That. It's funny you say that because we both bald bros.
It's easy to clean up.
It's easy to clean up.
Just erase it.
But yeah. But listen, I be seeing cats now who have hair and be complaining about it. I'm like, listen.
I said, give me one dread. Just give me one dread. Just give me one dread.
Give me one dread?
Just give me
like
one. Yeah, just give me one. And I'll be happy with it.
Yo, you know those cats? There's cats be out there who be bald but have one dread. I'm like, yo, dog.
Hold it on.
Hold it on, Sean. Just hold on. I'll go home.
Just keep thinking. Just holding on.
Yo, people don't know that the bald life went. Because, you know, in the 90s, people were willingly going bald.
Jadakiss,
you know,
like, pisses me off till this day. Because
yes.
You don't just go bald. And you have hair, like, you know, just
that's like cutting a limb off on purpose.
And then you know damn well your chameleon is just gonna grow back. Oh yeah, I'm telling you, I can grow the shit back when I want it. Like, it's been 10 years. We didn't know you could do this.
Exactly. Raise yourself a little bit so I can see your full face. There you go, good man. But yeah, people don't know what it's like. Like, so you know, in the '90s, you would see Tupac willingly shave his head, and I'm like, oh, Tupac's bald, and then he went to prison. And in the prison, he grew his hair out. I'm like, hey.
He's like, hey, what's this? Well, I remember.
Been lying.
I remember reading that he had, like, alopecia, which made him probably, like, patchy, which probably made him just cut it all off so it could be even.
No wonder Jada loved him so much.
Yeah. Love and go patch. Yep.
The other Jada. Toxic Jada.
Yeah, toxic Jada.
Who thought the non-toxic Jada would be Jadakiss?
Yeah. It's like, I thought it would have been the nigga from Yonkers that would have been wilding more.
Exactly. He's a humble one, but that's all on the top. Nah, but yeah, I mean, people don't know the ball life, man. The ball life is, you got to make sure you have the right razor so you don't get no bumps. Make sure you have the proper oil or the proper alcohol.
It saves money, though. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I used to go to the barbershop 1 week to get a shape up, next week to get a haircut. But that's all we want.
We shared a barber at one point. DOC.
I was just speaking to him yesterday, the other day. His brother's asking.
Okay. Doc is a funny barber. Doc is the type of barber, we all know this type of barber, where like, you go to him.
That's every barber.
But he gonna need like 10 favors in return. Yo, take me to the courthouse.
All the way back to my baby mom. You wait till after this cut. It's all love, though. It's like, yeah. I got you.
Yeah, let me get a mirror.
You live the block, Chinese flip the block over, so I got you.
I literally would take him to like the courthouse to see his baby mom. I would go get some Chinese food. I'm like, yo, I just want him a haircut, though.
Well, that's all right. No, I'm looking for 5 hours off.
Yeah. You know, this is your tip right here.
Yeah, exactly.
but shout out to Doc. Shout out to Doc. But yeah, before we were bald, we once had hair way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Way back. It's a long time ago. Long time. This is like Snick era and Nick at Night. This is that era. So let's go back to the beginning. Now, you are a 90s baby. And I want to ask you, what was it like for you growing up with my aunt, your mom, Luce, just you and her and our grandmother, Jean, rest in peace, as a only child or a single mother? What was that like for you?
I mean, everything, at the end of the day, everything was good. Were there things that I wish I had different? Yeah.
Like what?
Even when I would get around you and X, or just get around Annabelle, just because it would just be something close to siblings and someone else besides me, it would just be lit for me. So maybe just being in the crib all the time, I can't keep blaming grandma all the time for the dishes. You know, now there's no other, it's always me. But so it was always attention. I hated the excessive amount of attention.
Oh, you got attention for that reason. So being the only child for you was a lot of attention on you.
Yeah, it was too much spotlight. Like, you ain't walk a straight line. They peeped it from a mile ago, and you already know the Haitian.
Was Mom Dukes hard on you? Was she understanding?
I think she was hard on me because she was trying to be both mother and father. I guess for my father's absence. But my problem is, I think I just read into shit. It's like, yo, you're saying all this, like, don't go across the street, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I just watched my friends go across the street. What's wrong with going across the street? All because you're scared something might happen to me. But it's like, what you're trying to feed me isn't true. So now I'm just like.
So the overprotection.
Overprotection, just realizing, like, certain things that you say not that it might not be true, but it's just you're trying to protect me and stuff like that. Yeah, it's overprotection.
You know, it's crazy. I understand how at that time you could, like, you know, have frustration with that, you know, because you want, everybody wants to exert a little independence growing up. You know, like for me, for instance, I had a sibling, even though she's an older sister, 4 years apart. And 4 years is a close enough age range, but it's still like a generation apart.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
it's still a high school.
It's still a high school. Exactly. And you know, it could define what y'all like as far as music, whatever, fashion, whatever. 4 years to be so, you know, I felt a little bit of both, where I had a sibling before I had a sibling. You know, we would bicker, argue, laugh, and share stuff together, share resources. But I also felt like, you know, I'm a little different. I'm a little younger. She has her own community. Plus, she's another gender. She's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect too. But I was given a little freedom in my building, and we'll talk about your building in a second, but in my building, I was given a lot of freedom as far as going outside, where even though my mom was hella strict, yeah, very strict,
mm-hmm.
They would tell me, you know, alilamba, like go downstairs, go outside. Don't go
go to the store, don't go to Gessner,
Unless you need a calling card, it's for Haiti, and then it's like, all right, go get the calling card. Exactly. But other than that, nah. So, but I was able to, in my building, like, you know, play outside for like mad long, which is summer nights, spring nights, you know.
Yep. Until I would learn about coming down,
and I had a wealth of kids in my building, so it was healthy for me. So I got to have that. So
yeah.
So I don't know if you got to have that. I don't know if you
did. Yeah, I had that like crazy. We had a whole bunch of kids that would always play, but I just felt like all the other kids would be able, at a point, they would go play with the other kids, maybe down the street or across the street. and they would go with their siblings, and they had that freedom. And it's like, I'm over here getting...
Time's up for you.
Yeah, it's like, you don't even think about it. And it's just like, even if, even when I would do it, my conscience would just be, because they were just so angry about, no, don't go over there, blah, 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 we don't know what's happening over there. Yo, that's where my bus stop is. We just gonna play football. I can't see you from here. No. I ain't going alone.
Yeah, that trauma gets ingrained in stains on you. Like, yo, even if they're not around, I can get away with it. I still gotta...
It's like it's your conscience. And it's like that Jesus meme where it's just looking behind you. You're not supposed to be here.
But it's almost like, you know, sometimes I ask myself, can you blame them? Because yesterday I saw a story in Jacksonville, Florida, where I guess a kid on a football, a seven-year-old kid, 7 years old, I guess he's playing Pop Warner football, and I guess some gang violence happening nearby. He got hit with a straight bullet, and that's different. You know what I'm saying? And mind you, he's on the proper place, a community football field with his pads on, with his outfit on, and he still got hit. So it's just like, yo, like,
where do we keep them safe? And I get it. I mean, shit's crazier now compared to back then. I feel like back then niggas were in more morals, where it's like, all right, no women, no children, no broad daylight. No. But now, let me put something on camera for y'all.
Yeah, people today, the kids today, they seem a little more ruthless or egotistical with the get back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely the reaction, and then, the revenge, yeah. Not discipline.
And then they want to like flaunt it on social media, which creates more. So yeah, that I definitely agree with you there. Where today he's a little more just ruthless and a little more lawless, a little less ethics or code. But it seems like human nature is always going to be like a sector of people who just don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's always going to be that one person that doesn't give a fuck, and then it's going to be monkey see, monkey do. I see it in Muncie all the time. There's that one person who doesn't give a fuck to drive on the left side of the road just to pass it around. And here comes more Jew who's following that bozo.
Yeah. There's a certain section of people who in a certain community where they be wilding with their they be wilding. And we love everybody. We're equal opportunity here. We love everybody. We don't discriminate.
I'm not discriminating, but I don't even respect no religion that says that they're better than us. That's a different. Yeah. You know?
I agree, but that's another conversation for later. But for now. So, you living with moms and grandma, I'm gonna get it, only child. What's it like living with your grandmother and sharing a room with our grandmother sharing a room?
That was terrible. There's no privacy, everybody in your business, but that's normal. I mean, I guess it would be the same way if I had siblings.
Yeah, I had that experience too.
Yeah, so it's just like, damn, open my eyes, motherfuckers, right there. Can't do nothing. But I mean,
an old lady gotta be different though.
Oh, it was different. Like in the middle of the night, screaming "Dula, Dula," and I'm like, "What's a dollar?" Like, why are you screaming for dollars at night? Like in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, you holding your leg, screaming "Dula, Dula." Meanwhile, I'm learning that means pain.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I could get it. I will say this though. You know, a lot of kids, especially Creole kids, Haitian kids who grew up speaking Creole in America, a lot of times that Creole is not as sharpened as you'd like them to be. But I would imagine you, especially in the height of the moment, the height of you and mommy dad in the crib, my grandmother, you had a better experience of conversing with her
in Creole,
learning with her. Would you say so or no?
I would say so, but my problem is I feel like they never corrected me. So it's only Carol in the house that we understand with him. But don't you go outside. When I be in front of Haitian people speaking Creole, like, I let you know I'm Haitian, but I'm not going to go there with you. Then the niggas started popping numbers, and I'm like, what?
I know home Creole.
I don't know this outside world shit. Y'all wilding right now. I'm listening to y'all on the radio. I'm like, that's not what we see. Like,
yeah. That's funny. That's hilarious.
I know house Creole.
That's a lot of first generation people. For sure. But yeah, that's relatable. I went to the same thing, you know. Well, my mom and dad, especially my mom, what they would say to me at the crib is very. Fine tune. It's very fine tune.
It sounds like language outside. It just sounds like English. It's like, is that Blunzy? Like, yeah, I don't want to be those because I watch my parents say, is that Blunzy?
Exactly. Exactly. So, but how do you perceive life as a young child with your mom, with what she was going through as a single mom? How did you feel about her, you know, growing up and viewing her as a single mom? What was your feelings? What was your emotions, you know, coming up?
So it's not that to say that I was spoiled, but everything was taken care of. Like, I didn't see my mom struggle or my mom say that she was struggling. Because it could have been on some shit where it's like you probably didn't have enough money for the rent, but it never became a situation where I knew about it because it got taken care of. So, or even shit for the crib, we always had food. So I wouldn't see that she struggled a bit, but I feel like a lot of times growing up under her,
If you can't speak on it, don't worry about it.
No, if you don't think the right word, how do you...
because in my lens, if from my point of view, you know, watching y'all grow up, I remember before y'all moved to the other spot, y'all used to live downstairs first in another building. And I remember going down there.
I think that was when I was first born. Then we moved all the way to the top. Then when we moved all the way to the top on the other side, that was a one bedroom, and then I think grandma slept in the living room with the bed behind the couch.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, there was a time where it was on the porch all the way on the top. Like, the building is shaped like an L, so right now I'm in the front of it. But there was a time where it used to pass it and go down. So that same spot where you're saying all the way in the bottom, it was all the way at the top.
Ah, yeah, I remember that briefly. Yeah.
It was all the way at the top. And then
I remember that briefly. Well, my recollection of that era was just like, you know, your mom was doing the best she could. She made a home. You know, in passing, growing up, or really my adulthood, my father, your uncle, he would tell me like how like there was moments early on, and maybe even before you were born, or right when you were born, early on, he would come through to try to like drop off some Pampers and
yeah, my mother would tell me stories, and he would tell me stories too, and I've never. For like stories about that, I've never seen growing up. Yeah, there was times where I wanted shit and she wouldn't buy it. Of course, things that I want these V-Bucks. And I get V-Bucks every time you see it. So, but I had what I needed. You know, I had what I needed. Yeah. I was put in extracurricular activities that cost money. It wasn't all the time, but it's not like she wasn't getting it done. She was getting it done. She was holding shit down.
I remember one time she put you in piano or something like that.
I was in karate. I was in a couple things. Well, this is all shit that she wanted to put me in. That's another conversation. It's her doing stuff that she wants, and I'm just like, damn, I wish I had a nigga here to just go ahead and have my back, because we just doing whatever she wants me to do.
Right. You had no say.
I had no say, and I'm fine.
And you'd have a male advocate to give you the balance with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it. And I can get the frustration with that too. Like, you know, like, you know,
that was even the problem. I was even frustrated. It just came to a point where it was just normal. There was no longer. It's like you being frustrated with what? Something that's not going to change? You're going to keep upsetting yourself off of expecting. Like, this is how it is.
Not going to change. So when you say there's no point in getting frustrated with something that's not going to change, would you say you learned to deal with or cope with certain things? Like certain certain situations? Just learn to deal with it?
I learned to deal with coping with a lot of things early. Just, I mean, being the only child, I'm already isolated. So you don't get your way. It's just like, all right, you learn it right now. So you get your way or you don't. What are you going to do when you don't? Nothing really about it. So just sit in it. You can either cry about it. You can get over it. And then tomorrow you're going to think about it. The shit that I wanted to do yesterday that I didn't get to do, I'm not even mad about it today. So.
Mm-hmm. What were some of your toughest times in that home dynamic, would you say? Like, damn, this is whack right now.
It would definitely be in my teenage years when she was trying to get more of a hold. There was a time where they was yelling at me, telling me to cut my beard, and I'm like in my 20s, just because they felt like oh, you think that you big now, blah, 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 because you're never home. Like, my niggas, I go to work, and by the time I get back after work, I go do whatever, then I come home. I see y'all in the morning, maybe. Like, what y'all want to do? Y'all want to watch TV? I thought I wasn't your friend. I'm not your friend. Now you want to be my friend. I'm not one of your little friends. I can't talk to you.
I can hear my mom now. Got on Bob. You know, Osama. I've been calling Osama. Bob,
yeah. Someone has to show my mom a picture of Harden. And then from then, she just started calling me Harden when he had the whole crazy beard.
Yo, speaking of hair and speaking of overbearing mothers, I remember in senior year or junior year, I don't know, in high school, I had braids. I had cornrows. My cousin, my god sister, I grew my hair out. First, I had twists. Mm-hmm. And twists, I could openly get away with because, you know, they curled up. They were soft. And they didn't look like a bum. Yeah. But they didn't look like bum stuff. Quote, unquote, bum stuff.
Everything is bum stuff. That's...
Yeah. See, bum, you know, got him bum.
Vagabond. I was Captain
Vagabond. Yeah, vagabond. That's a huge phrase. Ooh. So, in our household. So, twist, I got away with. In fact, I have one of my high school graduation picture. I have the twist on.
I think I remember that because I was like, yes, I'm next. Like, I'm about to defy all the time.
Here we in.
This young nigga's off. He's doing it for us.
Yeah, right? Pioneering. But let me tell you, I remember when my hair was long enough. And I did cornrows with my god sister. Yo, I must have hit my cranium in a hat and a do-rag for like 3 months in the house.
That's how it was when I got my ear pierced.
Because, you know, the story goes, you know, don't get braids. Don't get braids. Don't get cornrows. You know.
I want to know where this Haitian manual script is. So I can, just... burn it or rewrite it.
Because, and you know like, what's crazy? Go ahead.
They all have the same script where it's like everything is this, everything is that, but I think it's just anything that's American.
Yes. I think that's which is American. A whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a whole nother level of nasty trauma.
Which I can understand too, because they want to probably keep their bloodline strong and their traditions and culture, but they don't want it to get mixed and washed up with the American culture and lose their way. But my thing is, you got to keep that over there. You can't.
I'm sympathetic to that. If someone says, yo, whether you're Russian, Haitian, whatever, if someone says, yo, I want to still impart our culture in this household, I get it, but yo, you chose to live in America.
That's how I feel too. Like, especially if you're an immigrant parent, if you're Russian and you come over here and you, nigga, you're gonna have to learn English. And if you have kids here, guess what? They're gonna be speaking more English than you, being more American than you. It could be the same if you was Russian and moved to Africa.
And they might like Corona, not vodka.
Yeah, they might like the American traditions more than the Russian household traditions that they have. Who knows? But because you are what you are.
Because they are American. Because we are American.
Technically.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and if we go back to Haiti, we're gringos, you know what I'm saying? We're not where you are, you know what I'm saying? So, that influence they didn't get, they didn't understand. So with that being said, when I had my do-rags hat / cornrows under my hat for like 3 months.
Tiptoeing.
I remember one day, either I was annoyed or I was just tired. And I finally just took my head off.
Like, motherfucker.
And yo, you could have thought I robbed the bank. I think they would have been more proud. I mean, my mom. I think she would have been more proud of me if I robbed the bank and had cash in front of her.
Nah.
Uh-oh. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, just the whole mannerisms. And like you said, it's not just our household. It's like every Haitian household from New York to Florida. To Georgia,
to Colorado,
it's like if they're to Boston,
anywhere
to Boston, they're all the same. They all have the same reactions.
But that generation is I don't want to say dying out, but it's fading out.
It's fading out. As this long new generation in America
can't even probably they speak my Creole. We're gonna understand each other.
Yeah,
we're gonna understand the OG Asian.
Right. Right, like that, the second generation Haitians that have been living here, they're gonna get withered down to like you know America,
which is and then like, and, and, And 9 times out of 10, the third generation, the children that we make, they're going to be mixed, where they're probably not even going to have the Creole in the household to even know that dialect. Whether it's for you or for me. Your children speaking Spanish and Creole. My child, he's just a Caribbean mix.
I ain't gonna front. Listen, there's a little prejudice inside of me with our own people. I never liked those Florida doodle braid Haitian hairstyles.
Anywhere but Florida, so I can't even say.
That's all Florida.
Listen, I don't see them in Boston. No, I don't see them in anywhere where I don't see them in Ohio.
No shots of Florida in general, you know, even though y'all be wild as a state.
There's always going to be something in every culture that where it's just like, I don't like when we do this.
And that's just Haitians too in Florida. I think Jamaicans down there be having those.
The Haitians, they have the ones that go down. They don't have the ones that point up. Those are the bigger dreadlocks. It should look like a big hash brown. Those are the ones where it's like matted down.
I'd be wanting to like take one of those big like...
weed records.
Yeah, the weed whacker just, get rid of that shit.
They still have, a lot of hair. Once they take it apart, and then they'll still have a lot of hair.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, give me one.
Anybody who has hair, trust me, you are blessed. Yeah, I've been seeing cats be in their 60s and 70s with full head of hair. I'm like, what'd you do?
And this shit's just gray, and it's still wavy. I'm like,
yeah, we're wavy. Like, what's going on? Like, how'd you do that? Like,
be nice.
You know what I'm saying?
I wish I could just put my head in a bucket of hair growth or something.
Exactly. And knowing my luck, when I'm in my deathbed, there's going to be a new invention coming out saying, we're here now. Now, what I won't do, which cats are doing, I don't know how you feel, what I won't do the, they go to Turkey, and they take your blood out of your body and they put it in your hair.
Like the
Tory Lanez thing.
Stuff like scars and stuff. Because what happens is that eventually falls out. And then when that does fall out, it's like there's going to be nothing but scarring.
Oh, so it falls out.
So from what I've been seeing, it'll be fresh for like a good 3 years and then they're going to tell you got to come back to do more. So it's like pretty much.
Wow. So what's the point?
It's really the root of it. It's like you really need to get into, I guess, the cells of your head and then kill whatever.
The scalp, yeah.
Yeah, it's like some DHT shit or something, but whatever's keeping your scalp from producing.
Nah, I laugh. I know somebody. I laugh, and he's gay. He's not heterosexual. He's gay. But I know somebody who went and has gotten fake hair, the whole trend of fake hair and they shave it down. I'd be laughing. Yeah, right. One hurricane.
Yep. And it's just gone. It only takes one fight. I see it when it happens to girls when they be fighting. So imagine with a nigga. Like,
you know what's crazy? If I have to fight somebody with a fake hairline and fake this, I wouldn't even just throw punches. I would just go to the head. I won. The fight's over.
You're just going
to
be looking around at everybody laughing. Oh,
cool. Yeah, that's crazy. But I think about him because I always joke with him and say, you know what's crazy? You can do that. You know, as a gay gentleman who's, into fashion, he's into, makeup and he's into all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can get away with that.
Allows you to get away with that shit.
But to this day, they get LeBron. LeBron is always getting jokes over his big hair and like that.
He did like some Tory Lanez shit too.
Yeah.
So, that's why I want to see what Tory Lanez look like now in jail. Because I'm like, you got to go back every 3 years to get it redone?
Exactly.
That's all armpit hair.
and I said to say this. It's under reported how much heterosexual men, everybody gets judged for their looks, everybody. But it's underreported how much heterosexual men are judged on their looks. You know, you can't be too short. I don't like short guys. You hear women say that, right?
Mm-hmm. The girls don't like short guys, of course. They don't like guys with no money. But that's only because it comes with the whole status thing to them. Sometimes it comes with the whole idealization of what their perfect man should be. And it's just real. Meanwhile, it's just like, all right, you could be a bum. And it's like, you know what? There's potential in you. I think I love you. You do me right. I could change you. I could change your bum ass to make you a secondary. Like, I see that in you, and we can do this if we work together. But there's more stipulations with women. But it's
absolutely
as long as it's understood. It's with love. I get it.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, women are judged harshly about their looks. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think men judge them harshly on their looks when they're looking for someone to get married to. I think when a man is just trying to have sex with a woman, that's when he judges harshly. When a man is like, yo, like a nigga can fall in love with a woman that's probably not even attractive, but because of who she is, she's up three notches on that Richter scale out of 10.
And on top of that, attraction can be relative to what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I have seen that. I have seen that. Once a man's ready to settle down and look for something serious,
you don't care what you look like.
Yeah, he like what he like. You know what I'm saying?
If he's just trying to just smash and dash, he's just like, no, I'm looking for that perfect porno star for the night. And then he's just criticizing everything. And it's like, bro.
He may play into a fantasy or play into...
same way how, you know, the opposite will play into a fantasy for someone that they want to spend their life with. Dude is playing into a fantasy for someone he wants tonight with.
Right. Exactly. So I definitely get that, but you know, me and my coworkers, we were talking the other day, and we were making the point, jokingly, we were saying that, like, you know, a dude is fine with having a girl come to the house or to the bed with, like white t-shirt, a little low, or hair in a bun.
Oh!
Dreads. You know, it's because it's about how you just present yourself. You don't need the Victoria's Secret lingerie.
Yo, you could be Muslim down. I'm talking about hijab. Her voice alone might make me have, like, what's under there? That's you don't need to come. Sometimes that sexiness, that's just how I feel. Just, I don't want to say just being in the streets, but it's like, why are you wearing so much? Why are you looking for so much attention? And at the same time, you're going to deny it because you're seeking validation. So it's like, how many people, how many times, who else have you done this with? It just shows me that you don't, not that you don't value yourself, but you're looking for that validation to value yourself when you put yourself too out there.
Yo, it's funny you say that because, yo, fact, there's like a low-growing trend that I have seen amongst guys. I know I feel this way, but I've seen amongst other men where they're getting tired of seeing too much booty on social media.
Yeah, I think, you know what it is? Women nowadays, I think they're starting to, this whole feminine movement, I feel like it's trying to make us seem like we're equal, so they're trying to think like us, and even if you try, you couldn't. So you think that we want BBWs, like, yeah, see a chick walking down the street butt-ass naked, yeah, I like that, but that does not mean that's what I want, and I want you to start walking down butt naked for me to come get you. It's like, I like it, that's a nice cake. I got diabetes right now, I can't be eating cake, but that's a nice cake. That's like, I can observe and appreciate, but it does not mean this is something I want to take in my home and life. Give me Maya. I don't need a BBW. Shout out
to Maya.
Give me. I'm watching Moesha right now. Moesha, I'll break your little eye.
You mean the BBL, the ant booty?
Hmm.
The BBL, you mean the ant booty?
Yeah, just everything.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we all push for, you know, equality, equity with women. We want women to be respected, on all that goodness, of course. But I don't need a woman to be a savage in the streets as far as flaunting stuff. Because I grew up with dudes in the locker room saying grotesque stuff.
And that's what I try to, like, especially with my female friends, I try to let them know. I'm like, yo, you trying to put yourself out there for validation or just to see if you, like, you know, like a chick, if she got a BBW, what do you think? She's going to get a BBW and sit down? She's going to go see if that shit's good. She's going to go use it. So you going out there using it to try to get your value understanding, you're going to have niggas that's looking at you like, yo, like, for every dick is a dick away from marriage. You think somebody's going to want to, like, marry? And same thing, vice versa. There's women out there that don't like niggas that's out here just running through women.
Right. And, you know, we grew, as dudes, you know, we grew up with...
I had a conversation with my girl last night about this.
Yeah. Well, we grew up with dudes in the locker room being nasty, language, grotesque, a little too much. Like, you do a little too much, you know, with the chicks. So you do a little too much talking about, you know, like me personally, I never liked hearing dudes go into detail about stuff they were doing with women. I'm like, yo, I need to hear all the details, you know what I'm saying? All right, you're getting chicks, good for you, all right. But you ain't got to go too hard. Like, you don't have to sell it to me. You're a player, you live your life, awesome,
good for you. No more war stories.
Yeah. I don't need to be too graphic. And now in this
sometimes
era,
the guys that's graphic, I feel like are the ones that don't get. It's like now it's been. It's like I haven't got it. Now that I finally got it, yo, guess what happened? Like, nigga, this ain't new to you. You're excited about this? You're doing
yeah,
it for you.
Yeah, they overcompensate for what they lacked, what they missed out on before.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't get it. But
I'm saying they haven't been getting it. So now they're excited about it. Niggas just got cable. Now they want to talk about TV.
And now they're all the shows they get. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, it was already nasty for me growing up hearing it from dudes. And now I see, like, women being ultra graphic. I'm like, I don't want to hear that from y'all either. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that,
turning into us.
And then I see it. And then I see, like I said, me personally, the BBLs. The ant booties, where like the ant, the booty pokes out. It's like a letter P.
I feel like you're just looking for attention, and you're just putting yourself out there. And then at the same time, you're gonna get upset with the attention that you're getting. So it's like you're setting yourself up for failure. You're putting me in danger. Now I gotta deal with you every time we go to the store because you got your ass out. And the things that you could use to cover that, no, you got it so you can show. So it's like you're just looking for the attention.
Now, to play devil's advocate, you know, some women have said, well, you understand, it ain't about attention for me. What's it about is I grew up insecure in the mirror growing up with not having a big breast or a big butt or whatever, and I want curves. And I'd be like, yo, I hear you. I want hair. You know what I'm saying?
I don't have something about it.
You know what I'm saying? I get it, but I also feel like, is it worth it to go under the knife? Butcher your body.
It goes back to you just being secure about yourself. If you don't feel secure about yourself and you're not happy about it and you're making changes for it that's going against something that, like, this is health wise now. Like, all right, you're not really happy about yourself. It's more about, you say it's not about attention, but you know what you're going to get. You know, this is going to be nothing but attention. You wasn't getting the attention before when you didn't have the curves. So what are you expecting now after you get the attention?
Mind you, people have died under the knife. Women have died under the knife.
Kanye West's mother, and it wasn't no BBL shit or BBW.
I think it was a breast reduction.
I thought it was a nose or something, but yeah.
I think from what I understand, it was a breast reduction. And I've had a friend of mine, she also had a breast reduction, but she told me, Mike, you know, you don't understand how heavy boobs can be, big, large breasts can be.
I bet, yeah, the back.
You know what I'm saying? So I get that. You know what I mean? If you need a breast reduction because, you know, it weighs heavy on your back, that sucks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and these are things that we can empathize and we have to learn from. Because anytime a nigga hear like, oh, she got a breast reduction, nigga be like, why? He's like, obviously.
Yeah, why? Why?
You don't know. Why?
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you to look at. I hear you.
We don't understand.
But I do think it's underreported. It's underreported how much men are also judged on their looks. You know, I've heard women say, you know, you gotta have hair. I've heard that.
I think it's because we're not supposed to. We don't have a say. It's like we're just supposed to be perfect and not perfect, but perfect in their eyes. Everybody, there's chicks that just only want bald niggas, but we don't have a say about what we like about ourselves or what we don't like, or this is how we are. You just gotta be it for that. You gotta be him for her.
I've always maintained, because for you, the context you're talking about right now, the context you're talking about is socialization. I've always said, in the large scope of the world, women got it hard. Women have been paid less throughout history. Women, yo, in the 80s, in the 70s, some women could, you know, you go to certain banks, women needed a husband to open up their own account. Or they needed a husband to have a driver's license.
I think that's because those niggas that were in charge are probably getting cheated on by their wife that probably got them on some shit where it's like, if there's women coming in here, make sure that they're there with their husband. Because we don't want a woman coming in here opening an account and her husband's money, blah, blah. There's somebody that's in office or whatever, or that was in charge that probably felt some type of way to go ahead and make those, like.
Yeah, a lot of men have felt threatened by women naturally for whatever reason, by just psycho, crazy reasons. You know, just sexist dudes out there. There's misogynistic
because
dudes out there.
Those be the ones that be doing them wrong. So that's why they're worried. Just like how there be the man be doing, you know, the black people wrong. So it's like, yo, we got to make sure we keep them from getting too much power before they get up and then go ahead and take back what they know what we're doing.
What you're leading to is, unfortunately, human nature always feels like, I gotta be on top of somebody. I gotta impress somebody.
Or else I will become below somebody. We can't.
Right.
That's what. But those are only the people that are doing wrong. Like, if I'm not doing anything wrong to my fellow Spanish person or my fellow Indian person. There's no reason why I have to be above you, or we share this same lot together. You do what you do over there, I do.
But, right. And I feel like, so I feel like in the large scope of things worldwide, you know, women got it rough. But I feel like socially, when it comes to socialization, you know, dating and rules, I feel like men are supposed to be like a leader, a breadwinner, a debonair, suave guy, a Casanova. He has to be 6'3". He has to have a hairline.
A righteous man, God-fearing, but gangster.
Or in other words, he's old, like me and my coworkers the other day were talking about this. We were talking about, like, because he's single, and he was saying how, like, he feels like, you know, when he's dating, he always has to be on point. When he's courting a woman, when he's going out with them, when he's setting up dates, when he's with the woman in his household, like, he always has to be on showtime. Like, what's next, man?
Entertaining. I always have to do something or someone else is going to take it.
Yeah. Entertaining, engaging.
Yep. Got to be amusing at all times just to keep you here. I had times like that where it was like, yo, because I wouldn't say that I dated after, like, when I became single. I'm not single now, but I wouldn't say I was dating, because even the whole dating thing to me, I don't want to say transactional, but it's when you're dating, it's like you're looking for a person to see what they could do for you and vice versa. And that doesn't sound like love to me. And to me, what love is to me is like, you got to be like my friend, then best friend type shit. Then it's like, you know what? Like, I care about you in a different form. Like, I don't care about you, what you can do for me. I care about what I could do for you. That's how much care I have for you. But you're not going to find that in the dating world. The dating world is, what can you do for me? What can I do for you? And if that's the foundation of the relationship, what's going to happen when shit gets tough?
It's funny you say that, because I've been married now for 12 or 13 years. But even when I was like,
amen.
Even when I was like single back in my late teens or early 20s and in and out of relationships, the bar for me was always like, can I trust you to hold me down if shit gets bad? Can I trust you with my life? Can I trust you with my vulnerabilities? Will you mock me or will you help me?
That's my problem, because I think since that young age where I learned to just cope with shit, I learned that you cannot. And since I learned that I cannot, I just took that expectation burden off of what I need you to do and just put that on me. Like, I need to make sure that I don't fall short so I don't put you in a position to fail.
So you're saying your upbringing and the dynamics of your upbringing, it may have affected at times how you dated or how you chose partners, because you learn at a young age to internalize things, be self-sufficient.
Oh, definitely. Being Haitian too, bro. I learned from home that I can't be vulnerable. I can't explain to you how I feel. Every time I did, you were the first person to throw it back in my face when you felt some type of way, because you wasn't able to be disciplined in your emotion. You were just around. See this firsthand from the person that birthed me. So when I'm out in these streets and I'm saying, like, all right, you too, yo, my theory doesn't fall wrong.
Yeah, I am the American kids who, like, grow up with their parents and just talk about life. I'm like, yeah, y'all do that?
Yeah, like, at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure if you can do that with your father, you know, or probably at this age.
And as I got into my 20s, yeah, it started.
Because now it's like, well, what the fuck am I going to do? It's his life. But
it started.
You can't do that shit. What? I'd rather the beating than this. It's like, just hit me. But I just learned that I can't. It's not that we can't be vulnerable, but you can't put expectations and responsibilities on them for when we fall short, because I look at it as like, you don't have the strength for that. Or you know, I'll even say this, because like I'll wake up like maybe like 6 o'clock before my girl or whatever, and she needs a nap every day, like in between work. And I'll come back home from work and I'm up and it's like 1 o'clock and I'm like, all right, maybe I should go to bed. Not saying that she's not strong, but it's like, y'all don't think you're built to do the amount of work that I could do, like in these certain type of areas. The 100 push-ups I could do, you probably could bang out a good 30. So for me to know that, I can't fall short on my 100 push-ups and only do 50, and then I'm looking at you to do the rest, and you can only do 50. That's how I'm looking at it.
You know, it's funny. As I hear that, I think about a lot of men around me who voice this, and I felt this back in the day when I was single, that like there's a dependability factor that you want as a man, or you know, feel secure in your partner or whoever you or whoever you choose to be a friend of yours.
The like, desire, it's the desire to I need you to help me with this, or I need your help with this idea, or I need you. It's like we just need to be desired. As long as we're desired and respected, then it's like, okay, I'm gonna show up as your hero every time.
Yeah, you don't hear that a lot. You don't hear a lot of men being sought out and be desired by women. Like what you hear is like
the expectation.
Expectation.
And with the expectation, it sounds like something that's not appreciated. So you know, with us, if we're not appreciated, we're not gonna put no more effort into it. You mean I could do the same work and then get a 60, but if I study and got an A and you're still gonna give me 60, I'm just gonna just write whatever.
And it seems like to me, I felt this way when I was younger, but you may know more than me now. It seems like men are expected to be complete projects once you holler at somebody, once you court somebody. Like, the expectation is, you better have your shit together.
We're not human beings, cuz. Only women and children are human beings. We're human doing. We're only loved for what we do.
You said transactional earlier.
It's just what it is. And it's the same thing with us. It's like, we're only loved for what we do. And even if you're not doing anything, if you stop loving that person the way you love them, which is a doing, she ain't gonna love you no more. It's not gonna be unconditional. And it's not like it's anything bad about them. It's just understood. Nobody's gonna want to be with somebody that's not doing anything for them. But at the same time, it just kind of feels wrong when you're saying you love them. And
yeah, I mean,
our unconditional love is like, you could be like, damn, I love that bum, and it's like we're still gonna be suffering loving you, but we. The other side, I'm just saying the other side, you know, they'll choose, and I'm not mad at them. You choose your happiness for everything, but at the same time, it seems sacrificial. Because we'll sacrifice ourselves for your happiness, but sometimes I feel like everything must be
how much can you, and mind you, for the record, I want to make it the point that women sacrifice in other ways. You know, bearing children.
Absolutely. Dealing with children.
Yeah, putting their bodies through all that trauma in labor. Sometimes a woman might be, may dominate the kitchen of the house. And you know, there's labor in cooking. There's various labors that women may
do. Yeah, there's various labors that they do. That's why with all the extra strength, with the 100 push-ups that we're able to do, it's like, all right, like, how do we take this? How do we take some of that 50 that you're supposed to do off your shoulders? Because I'm strong enough to do it. I'm going to be able to do 150 push-ups. And just so that way, maybe while I'm doing push-ups, you'll have free time to make lemonade, if you understand like my analogy.
I also think, I was having this conversation the other day, but I also think part of what we are expected to do, it's rarely cashed in, and when it does, it's big. For instance, you know, one thing a man is supposed to do or looked at to do is put their life on their line for their lady. So let's say you're walking down the alley and there's a robber come through on you. You are expected. It's time to die. And that is something like that. The protector aspect of a man. You rarely have to cash that check in. You rarely have to do it. But just the idea of like, yo, part of my value to you, man, is that I hold you down on the outside. I make sure that I lead you, I protect you, but I put myself first in harm's way. And you may not feel it.
You might not, because we haven't gotten that situation, but I'm...
Yeah, but I'm always my head on the swivel.
Yeah, I'm watching the exit, but that's the thing. I feel like I feel like nowadays, guys are realizing this isn't a girl that I would die for. So that's why these niggas is like, yo, fuck that shit. And on the same contrary, women are looking at it like, no, you don't do this. I saw women like, it snowed, you didn't come and remove all the snow off my car, this and that. Granted, you should have that. You should have a nigga come and move all the snow off your car and make sure the car is heated up and stuff like that. But not a nigga that's pursuing you. That should be your husband. Like, it's just...
Right.
So that nigga that's doing it, he's probably willing to die for you. And you don't even have no love or respect, and he's going to be replaced the minute he's in the casket. So it's like,
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So it's funny you mentioned how some of your dating patterns, vulnerabilities, and emotions, you can trace some of that back to how you came up. So let me ask you. What was it like? What was it like growing up? What was it like having a relationship or lack of, however you want to word it, with your father? And how has that molded you and shaped you? If you could expound on it, if you can't,
I'm trying to even grasp. Like, the lack of relationship with my father in the dating world? Or just
in general. In general. It could lead into that, but in general.
It's so much probably that I couldn't even fathom, because I would even have, like, I got a negative here and I don't even know what the positive looks like to be able to compare and contrast. Maybe I could use you as an example. I feel like you're probably a little bit more disciplined in your emotions, which is something I probably had to learn over time, which I probably would have learned if I had my father or my father figure in life. I feel like you're definitely deal with erratic people or just anyone that is probably emotional well compared to me just matching it, because I was raised and watched matching, so now I know matching. I don't need that energy or whatever. So I think having the role model there, even if he doesn't teach you or say anything, shows you more of how you're supposed to be than a person saying it and they're not even representing. So I feel like a model. So, like, even when my stepfather pulled into the crib, it was late. I was probably, like, 12 or 13. But I grew up my whole entire life watching my mother be erratic, be emotional, say how she feels, say whatever she wants because of how she feels, you know? And then after that, you're doing that with grandma. Then now you're doing that with me. And after that, when I rebuttal with you, now you're just giving it back to me. Now it's just conditioned. And it's like, I had to uncondition that. Like, it was your pops that actually came and told me that. I remember at a young age, he came, like, things that I should be learning from my father. He was like, yo, listen, because I think my mom called your dad because, I guess, bickering between grandma and my mom. So he just came, settled shit down. He was like, yo, listen, let me tell you, with evils, they just talk. You don't talk back. Just say okay. Just say yeah, because if you don't, they won't shut up, man. So yeah. Just say, yeah, okay. And I'm over here like, but nah, I got to give it to them. He's like, well, what? It won't stop. Just say, yeah. I heard okay. that before. Yeah, so.
I heard that before.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to learn that when I'm just watching just women just do that back and forth with each other. You're looking at it like it's normal compared to someone that's probably not even giving none of that energy and then getting engulfed in that and then becoming frustrated more than they were.
Right.
Nah.
So would you, it's a dumb question, but I got to ask, would you say in that respect, then your father failed you?
I believe he failed. I believe, even like, as I admit that he failed, I feel like I failed in a similar situation. I admit that he failed because, I don't know. It's like you failed in being there for me, but he was still doing his responsibility. You got married and had a child. You got married, so you went before God and made a covenant with him to take care of that wife and the children that come from there. So you're already...
How did it make you feel? You know, girl, I mean, you ain't got to get too deep.
I was like 6 or 7 years old, so it didn't really register to me. It's not until I'm older and I'm going over there and staying with you and I'm seeing it, but I think I was probably so dismissive of my own feelings where I probably just like, I'm just here until Tuesday.
Do you have any positive relationship with your siblings from him?
I mean, we reach out and speak to each other like on holidays, but nothing too...
Nothing substantial strong.
Nothing substantially strong, no. But I think it's just because we were both raised mainly as only children. You know, on my side, I was raising my household alone. On her side, she was raising her household alone. Maybe she just... But also, I remember growing up, her being very, like, needy and anxious, and I'm very, like, avoidant. So I remember getting yelled at, being like, how come you won't let her love you, blah, blah, blah. This is like, all right, here, give me a hug. Like, stop getting yelled at, because this is making me uncomfortable.
I remember one time you showed me a picture of her years ago. And I was like, damn, she looked like you. So, you know, I definitely do wonder, like, you know, listen, they say life is short, and it is in one respect, but also life is long. Because sometimes if you live a long life, you know, decades can go by and you don't grapple with certain things. So I would like to see you eventually, like, you know.
Lately, she spoke to me recently when Logan moved to Kentucky.
Good. Try. I would say, just for old time's sake, try to come around on that, you know, and be better with that, because, you know, listen, you only got one life to live. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that. But I do understand how you may feel like, you know, your father's dynamic with you, you know, kind of shaped how you had to navigate life and learn things on your own.
Yeah, because it reached a certain point where it's like, and I feel like that's for, at least for other Black men in America that probably didn't have their father figure. And if they had a mother, because the father wasn't in the home, obviously your mother, if she's not working 9 to 5, she's probably working more hours, or, you know, she's not in the household to go. So it's like, these niggas is getting raised by their friends and their peers. It's like, it's just mm-hmm. boys raising boys. So now when you mm-hmm. got, you know, immaturity raising immaturity, and they grow up,
mm-hmm.
gonna have to find out the hard way about real shit.
Blind leading the blind.
Just blind leading the blind. And then it's not until you get older and you get into certain situations like, wait, this isn't right. We're not supposed to be doing it.
I hear that. How, to put a bow on this, what would you say, if anything you want from your father today? Or are you like, it's too late? You good on your own? Or would you want something today as far as a relationship or a connection?
I think it's more like it's whatever. And I'm only saying it's whatever. It's not like, oh, I don't want to read. Like, I've tried it where I had good situation with him, and then it's like, I'm watching you be erratic with your emotions and being undisciplined, and it's like, yo, like, you don't see the bigger picture. I'm trying to reconnect with you, my nigga. Like, you got a grandson now. Like, you got another chance. You ain't trying to, like, make things work. Like, you can only...
And he failed then, too.
To me, he failed, yeah. I mean, it's in my perspective, you didn't do as much as you could have done. Or as much as you should have done with the second chance that you had. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and have any animosity towards you. I forgive you. But am I going to put any effort into trying to get you to be a grandfather or a father? I got other shit I got to worry about myself. I love you, though.
What I'm going to say right now is from a place of privilege, because I have both my parents in the house. But I do say sometimes to myself, even when I'm annoyed or frustrated by them, like, you know what? I wonder what kind of demons and shit that they went through in their head and their come up in their heads that's made them who they are. And let me try to, like,
sympathize.
I don't even know. Maybe empathize.
No empathy towards hate. He's like, yeah. No empathy towards how they made.
I guess empathize, but more than empathize, I just feel like, you know what?
I don't even think that they suffered those things that they put us through. I mean, not to say that they didn't suffer through those things, but I feel like these ways that they're raising us are conditions of our slave masters that the slaves took traditionally and then made it a way of raising everyone. It's like, remember, niggas don't ask no, someone farts, you say excuse me to them, like, type shit. And it's like, bad.
Were they taught to be judgmental? Were they taught abandonment? Were they taught?
To not speak how you feel.
Yeah.
Where they taught is like, yo, don't tell me no.
Right. Where they taught lack of compassion, stuff like that. So I do
think
wonder.
Sometimes I think the whole less compassion shit is because it's like, not to say in a man's world, but like in those times where niggas is getting killed, butchered, shit, like niggas die every day. It's like, yo, we ain't got time to be dealing with no emotion, how you feel. Like, I was having this conversation with my homeboy. Like, our grandparents, I'm sure, didn't have to do anything that they had to do for women nowadays as far as being in a relationship emotionally. My grandfather didn't have to be emotionally available to my grandmother. He didn't have to explain how she felt, or probably like suppress her when she was probably having, not to say that we're not supposed to as a loving person, but right. that is the requirement.
Were they better off for that, or worse?
Well, right now we're seeing what happens when the ones that were didn't have a voice compared to who have a voice. So the ones who didn't have a voice, like our grandmothers, where I hear women say like, oh, your grandmother used to get cheated on by grandpa, blah, 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 this and that, leave the house, come back. And it's like, all right, well, look at it nowadays with today's morals. There would probably be no house because grandma would have left already. And now she's just like, there's no family home. But at the same time, it's like, does the woman need to be getting cheated on? And then for her to stay, for that dynamic to be good, is it better that the woman has a say now so that way she could go ahead and flee for that if a nigga is cheating? I think if a woman's getting cheated on, then she has all rights to. Back then, it's not to say that the woman didn't have rights to, but niggas was just running around doing what they want.
It wasn't as much as freedom as that they
had. It wasn't as much freedom, and to the point where it's like even if they try to seek freedom from that situation, they didn't have any resources. Now they have the resources.
We
have resources for the bank, pregnancy, for anything, sexual assault.
Yeah. Like, women are way more empowered now, as they should be,
It's to the point, I don't want to say privileged, but they're way more privileged
there's
now.
There's been gains. It's not perfect, but there's been gains.
Nothing's going to be perfect, but they have a lot of alternate routes to fix things compared to we don't have any routes to fix anything. If we were to get into trouble with something, that's it. If a woman were to get in trouble with something, there's ways where we could go around it sometimes to go ahead, depending on the circumstance. Mm-hmm. But I've seen times when even a mother murdered children, and then she probably got off with less time compared to a father who has, let alone a black man. But that's just how our society is. You know, we're going to always look at the women and children, have a little bit more sympathy for them when it comes to, like, and it's just, yes, and it's understandable. But I think there's some people out here who are looking at this equality shit, and it's like, I want to be equal, so then be fucking equal. And I hear that too.
Yeah, I be hearing that. I hear that a lot with dating, like, but like, if we equal now, then I don't drive, you drive.
with dating, we're not equal. And I'm not saying that one is better, like, one is, like, the number one is better than the number two. The number is one, and it has the role of number one. The number two is a number two, and it has the role of number two. We're not the same. That does not mean that I'm better and you're better. You probably could cook better than I could. I probably could change a tire better than you can. What we can do with love is serve each other and teach each other how to do these things, so that way when we fall short, you could do it at least closer to the way that I would do it. But it becomes a competition where it's like, nah, you're the center, and I want you to be a point guard too. My nigga, I'm a center. Let me stay a center. When the point guard is out because he's injured, then I'll step up. But right now, I ain't going to be a point guard because you don't want to be a point guard. That's your profession, man. Be a point guard.
PYP, play a position.
Play a position.
Yeah, I hear you.
But it comes down to what I've been saying about the strength. Because it's like, I feel like we have more strength. I mean, I feel like we could work long hours without even, I don't know. I could work 60 hours and then come back and still have the energy to do shit if I know that we have to do it. But I've watched times where it's like other genders, like, I'm tired. And once they say that, and then once they believe it, then it's like, fuck it, I'm not doing anything. And I get it, because there's a lot of things going on with their hormones and bodies changing and stuff. So I could get that they're tired. But me, we got more work to do? Fuck. Come on, let's go bang it out. Let's go get that shit done. I think, come back.
Yeah. I think what you're alluding to is, especially physically, outside in the world, men are maybe asked to endure. You know,
we have to endure stuff,
you know, endure a lot. I've had women tell me on the flip side, emotionally and like relationship wise, women are asked to endure more. So I, like, women have told me, well, you know what? You guys can't handle cheating. If we get cheated on, we usually take you back. You know, we reconcile
that's,
with it.
That's all mentally stuff that you usually, not, I don't want to say you do to yourself, but even if I was a man that got cheated on, and then after that, I'm probably going to go through the same shit if I'm sitting here overthinking, emotional, upset. I'm gonna feel that same exact way.
Right.
Like, that's just human nature. But I think just one side's a little bit more closer to the emotional side, which can affect a lot more different pinpoints. It's going to affect how you overthink, how you feel about that person, the resentment, the distrust.
Right. I want to pivot to our last conversation before we head out. I want to talk about fatherhood with you. You're a father. How old is Elle now?
Love is 12.
12, right? 2013? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah. Right. What's it like? What's it been like being a father for the last decade plus? How has fatherhood molded you, changed you? What was life like for you before fatherhood versus now, as far as how you think, how you move, how you schedule, how you conduct yourself, all that stuff? Because I've seen you, before you even say anything, let me say, I've always appreciated how you move as a father. I've always seen you involved, and not just involved, but like care to be involved, enthusiastic about being a father. I've seen you take pleasure and pride in it. That's what I see on the outside looking in. What has it been like for you?
It's been great. Like, I don't know any dude that's going to be out here that's going to be like, yo, I want to have kids, or when they find out they're about to have kids, just be like, yes, or whatever. But after it happens and you see the stranger and you're in love with the little stranger that came out, it puts a different feeling inside of you where it's like, that strength that I was telling you that you have to do, like, the 100 push-ups, now it's like knowing that I have more responsibilities, it makes you want to do more. Just being a father alone makes you, it just gives you like a different type of like a perk badge where it's like, all right, now I got to be this, I got to be this, and I got to be this. And you somehow get the strength to do that. And just seeing their faces and that love and that, what was I saying earlier? Not the desire, but seeing that you're needed, seeing that you're loved, seeing that you're appreciated makes you go 10 times stronger, harder, longer, because you know it's going to make them better. So it definitely makes you a better person, even socially. Like, you know, go certain places, I see children, and it's like, before you see kids, you don't give a fuck. But now I see children. The other day, I was about to spaz out because there's a little kid crossing the street and car almost hit them. And I know that's not my kid, but that's somebody's child. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I probably should have been thinking like this before I had kids, but just being able to relate, it's like,
your protector gear turns up more.
My protector gear turns up, where it's like, even when I'm around other people and they're around their kids, it's like the parent, their kid, the kid's doing something. I'm like, yo,
now you're on the lookout now. Oh,
yeah, because my radar is up. Here, yeah, hit the kid, I just saved the child. Crazy, Juve. Get your back. Yeah, but, it's a great thing. It teaches you a lot of love. It teaches you a lot of patience. I think, especially being my girl, definitely helped me with that, because being Haitian or being Caribbean, I don't know how to say certain things without it having a tone. So, because you're only hearing it with a tone, so I don't know how to say it without having a tone. So instead of, Logan, did I tell you to clean your dishes after you finish using it? Blah blah blah. Because that's the only way I know how it'd be given, compared to, Logan, didn't I ask you to wash your dishes after you finish eating? Yeah. Whack me, you know? All right, do me a favor. Let's go wash that.
We were raised with harsh judgment.
We were raised with harsh judgment. Yeah, that's all that was known. Like, it's almost as if we don't see anything different, we don't know that it exists. We can't fathom that. I didn't even know you could be nice and ask somebody to do something like that. Oh, you mean you could do that at work and home?
Yeah. Yeah, it's eye-opening when you realize through your kids, oh, I could be a little more softer / collaborative versus being a tyrant.
Being a tyrant.
Yeah, I'm not to be a tyrant.
That's exactly what it was, especially like growing up under my mother's wing. Although I knew it was love, but it was a certain type of tyranny, and I'm watching your emotions dictate that. And to me, emotions were something that can't be trusted. I can't trust you being sad because I don't know how you're gonna react, or if this is how you're always gonna react. Even with you being happy, we're only doing this now because you're happy. So I was like, I don't. It's too much.
It's like a strong pendulum of emotions.
Yeah, it's too much stoicness suppressed. Where it's just like, if this it's like I'm looking for the genuine in it, but it's like, nah, it ain't genuine. You're just doing it because that's how you feel.
Yeah, there's a lot less talking when you're in a Haitian household growing up.
There's no talking. You don't have a say. When you get in a relationship and they want you to explain yourself or talk about stuff, you're like, shit, I don't know how. Like, last thing I want to do is just hear your mouth get scolded when I tell you how I feel. It's not that I can't trust you, but I've watched from the people that I came from that if I say to you how I feel when you're angry, you're going to go ahead and flip it and use it on me. That's right. Why your blood pressure is getting up. Damn, that's what I told you last night. I know better than that.
Crazy. Well, I definitely can agree with that. Like I said, me being a father of three, I've been able to learn how to grapple with the trauma that I learned growing up and how to like wash away with that and slowly chip away and get rid of that. How it's not beneficial to
the child.
To myself, my own spirit.
And that's the problem. That's why I'd be thinking like, nah, we all right. Just because we are right doesn't mean that I feel like we forgot about the things that we didn't like as children, but it's still installed in us for us to go ahead and continue pushing that into kids. And it's like, wait, I think I remember doing this. I don't like this.
Yeah, I've had to control, like, even at work or out and about, I find myself at times having to control some anger temperament that I have or anger management.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's this come from? And I'm like, I know where it comes from.
I know.
It's learned behavior.
I think sometimes it's like learned behavior, especially when you're watching anyone be erratic or undisciplined. It's like, oh, so you mean to tell me when you felt like you had enough, you could burst out? I feel like I had enough. Everybody get the It just because they did it doesn't mean it's correct. But again, it's monkey see, monkey do. I think what a lot of us, which I practice with Logan, even when I would like reprimand him and Christian, I would always give them some type of reassurance after, like, you know why we did this, right? You know how we stopped from doing this so that way we don't have to have this happen again. You know I care about you, but it's just because y'all don't listen. If I just continue, you're going to keep doing it. The lesson.
Right.
Because if we don't say anything, they're not going to know how we feel.
They're not going to learn these lessons. I hear you. And you're being forward thinking and progressive by being conscious of that. Like, yo, actually, I got to tell them why I'm disappointed in them. I got to tell them
mm-hmm.
I'm frustrated with them. And hopefully they learn
not that to be my sentiment.
Yeah, and that my sentiment is not just a tyrant, but it's actually a teacher.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to do this shit. I want to be playing with you guys right now, but y'all whining, so Ashita, Ajin.
Yeah, because. My mother was she's a master. She's a master of the mystic arts of Ajanu /
the right
Kale.
I would get those from. And that's another thing. Like, cause I don't. Have you ever beat Lauren or any of the children? There's no reason to.
Nah.
I'm looking for like what do you need to break where I would probably bust your ass? Like it would happen. And that's what I think growing up in the Haitian household, the problem was Haitian children would get beat for things that they didn't learn about. Like, I understand, yeah, there's common sense, don't climb on certain shit and you break it. But if you told me before, never touched that switch before, and then I touched that switch, all right, bust my ass. But if I just hit the switch the first time and I didn't know anything, don't come and just. And that's what I feel like the tyranny just came because they would rather teach you the lesson with pain. That was like, all right, you're never going to go back to that, like, compared to just giving you the grace where it's like, all right, well, you don't even know that this is a problem. Yo, don't do this again. But if I see you do this again, I'm going to whoop your ass.
It's so deep that, like, through discipline growing up, me to be disciplined, I learned slavery early, like, the effects of it. Like, oh, this is,
this is slavery. You know? It's just no change.
Yeah, I said, this is where I come from. You know
this is where I come from.
Like, oh, okay, I get it. So I learned early in life, this is above me. This is above this, what's going on with me right now, me getting disciplined, getting whooped, getting disciplined. This is not just a unique thing that my mom is doing. This is above her. This is something that's been passed down.
Yeah.
It's been passed down. And, I got to learn that, I have to learn that I got to cope for the moment, and then learn down the line, break the cycle.
I think that's where there was so much bickering in my house because I guess watching my mom do that with me and my grandmother being there, knowing that she did the same thing to her, would have them argue or then arguing about me. Because then it would be like, just like now, I'm sure this time, grandma would, I remember going to my grandma, getting away from my mom, protecting me. But at the same time, where did my mom learn this? And then now my mom's telling me stories about how grandma used to whoop her ass. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, man.
You jumped in and you broke your leg and then she bust your ass because you broke your leg from jumping?
Now, I will say this.
Sounds right. But if you think about it from a military mindset, they even got the women on it. Like, emotional around. They got the...
Now, I will say this before we leave soon. I will say this. I don't appreciate how the grandparents now, they're super soft in return. It's like, yo.
That's why I'm so gangster with them. And it's like, nah, he's going to be like, fine. I have to thug it out. He's going to thug it out too. Why don't you just bring him?
Why don't you give him what he wants?
Hurry up, come downstairs. I'm outside. Here's your Wendy's. What the fuck? Like, I just told.
Yeah, there's that. Or it's like, let's say a nephew or my daughter do something wrong and I got to be stern. Oh, Papi, come on now. Don't say that to him. Don't do that to her. No. I'm like, yo, that was me 20 years ago.
I would have been Bart Simpson'd up. Like,
you would have stole cold stun me from a chair. Yes, yeah, like, and now you're liberal.
And that's the problem. Like, why do you really want to be liberal? And that's how I felt. That's how I felt. I remember when grandma used to take me to church on Sundays, and it'd be the long ass Haitian church mass. As a child, the conscience was so crazy. I was like, so all y'all niggas used to be bad, and now because y'all older and getting close to the now y'all want to come to church. Like, I peep game is like, oh, so now that y'all older and y'all see the wrongs within y'all, now y'all want to act like y'all saint?
Yeah, like, come on now. So, you know, it's funny to see grandparents get softened up and be more spoiling of their children. I'm like, I needed that 25 years ago.
Where were you?
Where was this understanding vulnerable nature 30 years ago?
I only asked for McDonald's. Like, we're passing it. I know we're on Route 59. I know what's coming up.
Yeah.
I only asked for McDonald's. Wow, blah, 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 blah. No. But when we're at the crib chilling, fine. I want McDonald's. Why don't you go get some McDonald's? What the fuck? We're not passing McDonald's right now. We're home. Why should I get up, go out in this cold to go get, because he wants it. You know what I want?
What about what I wanted?
Shut up. I don't want to hear that. Just go get the McDonald's. Why are you telling me to shut up? I don't understand.
Oh, man. I probably will be the same way when it's my turn. Maybe. But, man, it's just the hypocrisy. It's like, really? How dare you?
And it's not that the loss of respect because of the hypocrisy, but it's just like, I can't hear anything you say to me now because you're just being... I can't even hear what you're saying right now. It's so hard.
I hear you. Well, on that note, first of all, you know what's crazy? As I'm about to wrap this up, I didn't even properly introduce you. I said you're my cousin, but I didn't properly introduce you. Now, it's been probably 25 years since I've had to say the word or name Fabrice, or as Haitians would say, Fabrice.
Fabrice, yeah.
Who to this day actually calls, because I always say Fab. When I refer to you, I say Fab. Who to this day calls you by government name fully?
Shit, police officers and state officials, like.
But that's it. Everybody says what, Fab or something else?
I'm Fab, Loso.
Loso.
Yeah, I'm just either Fab or Loso, but it's like someone called me Fabrice.
It's official. Something's going on.
I'm going to be looking like, who the fuck? My girl's been doing that sometimes, but then I'll be calling her by her phone name. She's like, all right, that's enough. I'm like, yeah.
That's funny. Well, she probably don't have maybe for where she's from using that phrase. I mean, using that name Fabrice or something like that.
She say we're bad breed. You know, she got a southern accent.
Well, shout out to her. But yo, good looking. I appreciate you coming on to the podcast.
You already know.
I call it the break room. And the reason why I call it the break room is because I feel like sometimes we gotta pump our brakes, stop to listen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You move fast in life and it's
good. You know,
pump the brake, enter the break room, chill out, relax, and have a good conversation. So I appreciate you and thank you for conversation. I salute you.
Let me know when the next one is.
I got you. Maybe Andy will be here for that one, and we're all gonna just have our shits and giggles. But until next time, I'm going to holler at you, yo.
All right, guys. Stay blessed.
Good looking. Later.